the bully when cats used to harmonize, yeah. Like, yo, yo, my men and my women, don't forget about the dean, this is not the most the king, yo, it's about a thing, yo,
feel
yo,
real good,
yo.
That's how you should always start any podcast, where the whole take of the podcast is going to be talking about music, recent rest in power deaths, and just general stuff. Hi, this is Ten Fro broadcasting from Mississippi Avenue in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And this is Ten Fro is reading from a beautiful start to a Sunday morning and close to the afternoon. In this episode, first, all the music like Do Wop That Thing by Lauryn Hill, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, is included in the One Podcast iTunes playlist. I'll be listening to more bops, but I'll also be just talking about Strauss and Greg. Rest in peace to the jazz saxophonist, Curtis Fuller, or is he trombone? Nope, he's saxophonist. Nope, trombone, my bad. Curtis Fuller, talking about the COVID Chronicles, reflecting on the state of Tennessee and what it means to be a Democrat in the Red South, and also giving the next episode of Listeners. And I hope you enjoy this episode and listen to the musical stylings as we go into the rest of the podcast.
Don't care who they fed, popping gang.
You got yeah.
Let's not pretend. The one to pack pissed out by the waste man, crissed out by the casement. Still the name of this basement. The pretty face man, claiming that they did a bid, man. Need to take care of their 3 and 4 kids. Been the face in court case when the child support late. Money taking home, breaking that.
Hall from the Curtis Fuller Jazz Tet. This past week, Curtis Fuller, master of jazz, whose trombone had a big majestic sound, is his obituary in today's New York Times. His expansive sound and powerful sense of swing made him a driving force in the post-war jazz. Died on May 8th at a nursing home in Detroit. He was 88. He played with He had his own quartet, as it stated at the top of this particular section. He also joined Miles Davis's band and stayed in New York after he had returned from serving in the Korean War. And then through his association with Miles Davis, he would join up with John Coltrane of the Jazz Coltrane set, and he would actually be the soloist throughout one of John Coltrane's most famous jazz albums. This is his solo on the syncopated riffs on John Coltrane's Blue Train album, and that's Blue Train from that album of the same. As his health deteriorated, he turned more attention to teaching, joining the faculty of the University of Hartford's Hart School of Music and at the Kennedy Center's Betty Carter Jazz Ahead program. Asked in 2007 to describe the signature sound that had left such an indelible mark on jazz, Mr. Fuller mentioned the importance of embracing one's distinct identity. I try to be warm, warm and effective, you know, and sometimes I'm cold and defective, he said. That's the way the water runs. I'm not God, I'm not perfection, I'm just me. And rest in power to the late, great Curtis Fuller. presence will be missed but not forgotten, and we'll continue to enjoy his music well into the future. Familiar? Well, welcome to the next section of the show where I'm just going to be all up in the Holberg Suite Opera 40. This is the Preludium, and this is the Mido Chamber Orchestra. This composer, Edvard Grieg, born in 1843 in Bergen and died September 4th, 1907. Who is the ham sandwich, Izzy? He's a Norwegian composer and pianist. His particular suite was composed on the piano. And adapted, would you say, for Beethoven? And I had no idea. I guess I never paid much attention or slept through most of music appreciation because I had no idea who this gentleman was, and I didn't look him up until recently when the Chattanooga Orchestra this past weekend had started a live show down at the Pavilion. I was thinking about going, but there was no way I felt comfortable enough to walk all that long way out there, have to fight for parking. And there's no gas anywhere in Chattanooga with my big old Bubba truck. So I decided that instead of going out there with all those people, I was going to look up what exactly was the Holberg Suite and who the composer was. And I'm actually glad I did. This entire suite is made up of 5 movements. I'm going to play for you and just comment on just the 4. One is Religiosity. It was just too slow and I wasn't with that. So enjoy the rest of the Preludium. This is Edvard Grieg. Second part, Sarabande. And you can actually almost see the notes. It is such a great feeling to basically be able to feel the music and the soaring. Complicated, but yet soothing. It's a wonderful work. It's like this slow build for this particular builds upon the previous and leads you into the third movement called the Gavotte, I hope. Gavotte, maybe. Not sure. I would like to think it was from a time where parties were complemented by women in these long flowing dresses and the waltz. This is definitely something that you could, it harkens back to that particular time in history. And just an overall celebration of life and celebration of beauty and greatness of form. There was no TV. There were no movies. These were people that you had to be able to conversate, and you actually had to be elegant and coordinated enough to actually dance to this music. And just the genius of this particular composer is exemplified within each one of these sections. Edvard Grieg, the Holberg Suite, second. This is the third movement, the Gavotte. This is what I think of. It seems that some part of this particular composition I've absolutely heard in some of the BBC's like Pride and Prejudice, or a lot of Jane Eyre. Jane Austen, in a lot of her adaptations of her work on the BBC. This is true classic music in its purest form. And this is like the middle of the five movements, I guess you would call them, or sections of the Holberg Suite. And it's so fitting. And this whole suite, you would think, would absolutely be a part of those elaborate balls that you would hear from the Regency period, although this music is much later, that, again, the flowing dresses harkens back to a time that I hope we would never go back to, because my people were oppressed during this particular period in history. But it would be great to see us all dressed up in these beautiful gowns, waltzing to this type of music. Again, uplifting, and it's amazing that this is the third movement, the middle, that it crescendos. And that's the last of the Holberg Suite, Rigaudon, because it makes sense. It almost has like a polka feel to it, because this would be probably one of the music for the last dance of the evening. And it's like, really, you don't got to go home, but you're getting ready to get the ham sandwich out of here. You could parade and promenade, twirl your partner, and then you out. Fitting in. Thank you. that's Serenade in E flat major from The Norwegian Winds and Gerard Oskamp, Richard Strauss. This particular composer was controversial in his day. He was a German, from German of and Bavarian extraction, 1864 to 1949. And he was associated with being a possible Nazi collaborator because he actually became the director of the Friedenstag, which was during the Nazi occupation. And it was almost a ruse. He could have been lost to history if it had not been known that he took that particular position just to get his daughter-in-law out because she was of Jewish extraction. He did his duty, composed, that pushed forward music at a time of great strife and of just pure racism and the murder of 5 million Jews. He did it partially to protect his daughter-in-law. He was unable to get all of her in-laws out, which a lot of her people perished in the Nazi work camps. But he did it as a ruse and then gave them the double middle finger on his way out right before he was fired. And he could have actually been executed if they had gotten the true meaning of his last opera at the Friedenstag before he basically fled the country. So, Richard Strauss, collaborator or satirist? Definitely anti-Nazi, and a wonderful and talented composer. And also, I would like to thank you. He was a contemporary with Edvard Grieg. So there you go. That's Duh What The Hell You Expect featuring Weezy 4K. Never heard of this guy, but Duh What The Hell Do You Expect? And it's appropriate, don't you think, for my dissertation or just fussing about the COVID. And this is the next introduction to the next section, COVID Chronicles. Spend it all, bitch, I'd rather save it. Three steps ahead, nigga can't play me. Nah, mama ain't raised no fool, and my daddy ain't raised no punk. Stand 10 toes down, I'ma ride by my nigga. This ain't what you want. Don't flesh for the Grand Valley Post. Stay humble, don't brag, don't boast. Keep a lot of money, but I never let it show. Never cop chase, nigga, I don't do the most. I ain't got time for them people and their feelings. I be worried about me, trying to better myself. Stay out the way and do me. I don't listen to rumors and gossip, that's bad for my health. Cooking on hits like a chef. Treat every year like it's my year. I feel like this ain't on my clear. Don't care how you feel, I'm just making it clear. Get the hater shit up over there. Certified G's only hang around here. Ain't no flag and no flex over here. Legit or illegal, we stay getting money around here. Coming for everything that they said we couldn't have. We put it out. Best to just doing the layouts. Well, duh. You know, how have we landed as far as immunizations and being in the recovery? We are still not post dumpster show 2020. The numbers are supposedly going down. Deaths are supposedly going down, but I don't really trust the numbers, because if they're anything like Tennessee, they're not replacing the numbers. And they're not really appropriately or consistently reporting the numbers. Even though they are reporting outrageous numbers in India, they say there still is an underreporting of the numbers in that 1. Some odd billion populated country. And it's post-apocalyptic. It is. It's like a failure of leadership to do anything from the World Health Organization, as well as their own Modi and his goons. And we still haven't heard a whole bunch about South Africa. We still haven't heard a whole bunch about South America and Venezuela. I honestly think the kids overseas that are coming, over the border are also sick. So when the CDC basically said that if you are fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear your mask in or outside, and my job is opening up and putting this like on some honor system, I still am going to wear my mask. Don't throw away your mask yet, because people are stupid as hell. They're not. They haven't been honest this whole time. We still got people marching on the school board saying the mask don't work and it should be optional. We got only 30-some% of the population here in Chattanooga, in Tennessee, that are vaccinated. Why in the ham sandwich would I think that I could trust these fools? So with that said, you can still
$35 a week.
Well, that's a 15% kick. A word.
And why would people are not going to do the right thing, because people are blatant idiots and blithering idiots. The vaccine protects you from possibly getting serious illness. However, I'm still in a high risk group. I can still get it, and I can still get really sick. I cannot trust any of these people that don't care anything for themselves, their own kids, and definitely not my black ass, to do the right thing and wear a fucking mask or to stay their butts at home if they are infected. So with that said, yeah, I'm giving the CDC the side eye. I'm giving the news agencies in India the side eye, because I can't trust really all of them, and emphatically. And I definitely don't trust most Americans. This also goes to debunking one of the wildest conspiracy theories that I have ever heard. Businesses have started banning vaccinated people because of some theory that vaccinated people shed the virus, and it can decrease your fertility or kill your infant. Let's see. Not so. There is no evidence that any live virus is converted in that can be excreted through the pores of any person that's vaccinated. That is the most dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life, and people need to stop telling that lie. It just doesn't happen. Virus particles, yes. Viral products, yes, have been found in wastewater in certain areas at a low volume. But the actual live virus being excreted in a vaccinated person? Nah, girl, stop it. Don't tell that body lie, and these people that spread these type of lies need to be banned from the internet, because all they are doing is staring up concern where it doesn't need to be concern. And people like Rand Paul and all of them retweeting dumbness. You could ask the question and we can look at you like you're stupid, because how can that happen? How can they excrete live virus when that's not the live virus is not even a part of the vaccine? Like, it gets converted inside somehow. That doesn't happen. That is scientifically impossible. So with that said, I need all of y'all to just shut the fuck up, because y'all are just stupid. And it's a stupid conspiracy theory, and it's just so inane. It's just, no, it's not. It can't be true. So, that's all I'm going to fuss about with COVID. That's the late, great Prince from his newly released album, Welcome to America. Of course, released posthumously. And it basically is an expression of a narrative that's being pushed today in our continued COVID and continued murder of Black lives. And I've been really reflective in the last several weeks about what it means for me to be, what is a democracy, and what does it mean for me to want to live in Tennessee. The things that make the news are the hate, the backwardsness, the conservative, ultra-religious, right values that it doesn't make any sense. And I would like to steer the narrative away from the negative and just tell my story about why I want to live here and what is it going to take for me to feel safe here, and to prove that there are more than mouth-breathing races that live in the South. There are a whole bunch of us that listen to everything, obviously from Strauss to hip-hop, and we deserve a voice, and we should have a voice, and we should also be staring our own narrative instead of the negativity that you see every single day in the United States. So, welcome to my America as I reflect on my being a resident of the state of Tennessee.
Everything takes forever. Truth is a new minority. Truth. Welcome to America.
Do we know exactly what we are saying when we state that America is a democracy? It is a governmental system that the whole population are all eligible members of a state, typically governed through elected representatives. And do we understand that balance, or that fragility in the balance? And what exactly does eligible mean? It seems like our forefathers had some really annoying ideas, because they couldn't grasp at the time, because we broke free from a monarchy that was predicated on the ruler to the most extent, being above all regular men just because they were royal. And white. Don't forget that crap. And there was a separation. I think they meant well, and they tried to have an alternate system, but still had the basic separatist and same racist views. Because I honestly think the forefathers didn't think that we were, because they didn't even see every human as being equal. There were certain races, classes that were considered subhuman, and they did not have a right to participate in the rule of government. They could be subjugated. I don't think, and teaching that should not be, you can't whitewash that. I mean, today, I start thinking about it more and more, because as we keep going through this time of voter suppression, and we got the whitewashing of history, Tennessee has done so much to turn back the state of progress. Just this past year, there was an article in the newspaper today where they were talking about what has the legislature passed. And one of the things that they passed, and they doubled down on it. And I think this Representative Robin Smith, as a female, she needs to go and sit down somewhere. I think all of the GOP in my state need to go sit down somewhere, because they're fooling Knoxville. You can't whitewash this crap away. You can't keep people, you can't punish people for talking about systemic racism when what you are doing is trying to cover it up like it was okay. You can't keep saying that. You can't keep putting it on the rug, because if you don't recognize that there is a problem, how can you fix it? This is not like the election where there was no problem. And y'all are passing these even more restrictive means to increase the integrity of the election by doubling down on a lie, because y'all refused, because you couldn't cheat, because it was so secure. And now you're trying to even make it even harder for people, even your own constituency, to vote. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say we're free, but you restrict people from the freedoms. You can't have it both ways. And how much sense does that make? You can't say that we live in you represent the people when you only represent a very small, rich, white population that doesn't think that if you're not rich and white, that you don't deserve a place in this country, because that is exactly what, and cisgender, that is what your views mean. And by any means necessary, you're willing to put that forth. A democracy is a representation of elected officials. Well, what if the elected officials are not doing their freaking job? Governing fairly. That is the other thing, the equality and the fairness. Just because don't look like you, or I don't have the same views as you, doesn't mean that I don't have the right if I had a uterus, to control what I do with my freaking uterus. It doesn't mean that I have a right, don't have a right to live wherever I freaking want to live, that I don't have to bust up my car because the roads are not fixed. It doesn't mean that by recognizing the racist beginnings of this country, how does that mean that because a failure to recognize and root it out is the only means how we're going to progress forward. We can't live with this status quo, because that makes us retarded or stupid. It makes us not being able
to become truly enlightened. You can't tell me that by putting on color blinders and not recognizing that that's going to solve everything, because it's not. What it's going to do is make increased suspicion and allow you to act willy-nilly in such a way that you're trying to reset us back to a time where a large population is restricted, can't improve themselves because of this racist status quo. And for these lawmakers to think that in a democracy that you can put on these restrictions and still consider yourself a democracy is probably one of the biggest fallacies and the delusions, this national delusion of the GOP. Y'all are under the assumption that your way is the only right way, is the white way, and you will win. That is your delusion, but it's so far from the reality. You can't make up your own facts. This alternate facts, and democracy is based on facts and data, etc. You can't keep doubling down and saying a lie when somebody's not going to call you on it. The best way to confront a bully is direct on, and sometimes you have to show a show of force. The only way that y'all going to listen, even though you keep doing these restrictions, is y'all need to go. It is simple as that. And the only way that we can do is making sure that candidates that are that have the sense and support them financially is that what it comes down to. But we got to look at what does a democracy mean, because it surely doesn't mean the nonsense that I'm seeing every single day. It doesn't mean that the people like the Robin Smiths and the representative from Knoxville get to basically say whatever they want to say, penalize people for basically calling you out on what was in the past, because your history, you can't rewrite history. You say you want it to be more objective instead of subjective. Well, if you can't point to the intent of some of these policies and just looking at it as an overall, how can you justify slavery for almost 400 years? What came of that? Who was considered a man, and why could you pass something like that three-fifths compromise? When you can't look at it even from that because it's too inflammatory and you don't want anybody to blame y'all just because, and you don't want to basically, because we don't want them to say it even though everybody knows it, you know, that is because of the color of your skin and how much money you actually had in your coffers. You don't want anybody to point that out, but you would be not telling the whole story. And that is the problem with the history books. The history books are written by the victors. And in our case, it's written by the racist white supremacist victors. So you're basically, the next thing out of your mouth is going to be that you're going to start saying it out loud. White supremacy. There is white supremacy. And it's okay to be proud of your race. Yeah, if you're white and you're in a position of power. I think that next step, and that is seems like where we're heading, but I don't think the train is, because a lot of these distractions, y'all use COVID, y'all use a lot of other cover up and all that rhetoric that was coming out of the former occupant to camouflage your white supremacist tactics. However, we see you for what you are, and it's very disconcerting, but we see you, and we are also learning your tactics in between fundraising, etc., how y'all are able to continue to do your work, or lack of work. Because some of you, what you do is just basically reverse all of the progress of the last 20 years. But now, It's like we're up now that we have all, a little bit more time on our hands. Yeah, we could come back and roar back. And we're going to see who's coming up for re-election and making sure that there are other alternate candidates, because that is what a democracy is. Who are the alternate candidates that are willing and have the balls or lack of balls to stand up to the nonsense? Finding these, supporting them, and making sure that the race is run and it's run neatly. Because now that y'all have done all this work to secure a already secure election, y'all can't cheat. You can't ballot stuff. Can't intimidate people. So how can we get the candidates in and win the race? This is what our goals. If you're libertarian, independent, progressive Democrat, this is what your goal has to be. Because the status quo in these red states and of all this backtracking has to end. Also, there's several governors that are coming up for re-election in the South. And we got our eye on y'all, too. I'll actually, in upcoming episodes, I'll have not only the next election cycle for the governor of my state, but in the state House and Senate, but also Georgia and Florida and Texas. These fools, girl, oof.
Why wouldn't I play Hey Soul Sister by Train from the Save Me San Francisco, the Golden Gate Edition album? This is how I planned, thinking about the next part of introduction to my next reading from my sci-fi attempt, Listeners. And this is, of course, enjoy the rifting of Hey Soul Sister as I reflect previously about living in Tennessee and settling in the South, resettling in the South, and then what I'm going to need to keep my mind engaged to continue to live safely here. So I hope you enjoy my next edited reading from Listeners.
Week has been one of not really tragedy, but it is of interesting. I've been a bit on edge and I've been out and about a lot. One of the things that I know I'm going to be adding to my the podcast notes is there is an opportunity for us people here in Chattanooga to get tested. You can test yourself what they think, and it makes sense that we should be testing ourselves 3 times a week. If you know, you will get the correct and proper treatment and hopefully slow down the transmission of COVID, because COVID is still out there. But the more I have time to know, and to learn, I get I absolutely get to write more, and I get ideas about things to absolutely that I can add to my book. I'm still writing Listeners, and I'm thinking that title is a contradiction to what I am, the direction the book is basically taken. Initially, it took a very boring direction, in all honesty. I wanted to create, no, it's not going to be anywhere close to the efforts of the late great Octavia Butler of sci-fi fan. But how she meld science fiction into the Black experience, a little bit of horror, a little bit of scientific discovery. And she, I don't think she has ever gotten full acclaim for what she actually added to the genre, because the times that we live in, you know, a whole bunch of post-apocalyptic sci-fi things, it doesn't have, you don't have to be depressed when you write about sci-fi and a different look of the post-COVID world. But I say all of that to say is the past week, there has been a great opening up and a lot of release of the restrictions. And I've been hanging out with different people, including a friend of mine. And I consider her a friend. She's a big old weirdo. But the more I go out knowing that I'm fully vaccinated, I also realize that I have to be tested. And the more I get over my fear of being around other people, because people will give you ideas and will allow you to improve your craft. You can't completely cut yourself off from connection of humanity. I honestly believe that we are worth being saved. And that's what the whole direction of my this particular creation is taking. The right for us to exist and to live and to experience and to learn. I don't think that all aliens should be as warped and ugly and just so different from humanity or humanoids that and how they've been portrayed conventionally in sci-fi. What if they only took a material form just so we can understand and that's how our brains process them? They have a right to exist just as well as we have a right to exist. So good, what is good? What is evil? What does it all mean? And when they're listeners, but they're just waiting for us to evolve enough to take their place into the continuum so we can all listen and or all exist together. Will we evolve into pure energy like the one and even the replacements? Not really. But what it is obvious that none of these beings that exist on the continuum of life represent any greater form or superior form than the other. So the police of the galaxy, which the one basically are, that is what their purpose is going to be. So this past week, not only did I have to revamp how COVID, not only how COVID is going to affect the scientific discovery, but also how it's going to be, it's starting to develop as a weapon to just eradicate humankind. But they were not counting the replacements, that is. We're not counting on humans getting it together to fight this scourge and before it completely implodes into World War III and the destruction of the United States. Because I foresee a better world. Maybe I won't see it, but at least younger people should be left the chance to exist and to experience a better world. So that's where I'm going to take it from. family reunion. Also, the attraction of Afro-Druids. I'm really sussing out what that group in the book really means. And I'm hopeful as I rewrite and add to the narrative, I'll better be able to suss it out and link it or everything all together, because Afro-Druids and data mining farms, all of that pre-existed the chaos that was 2016. And the devaluation of scientific discovery also predates that, but it was ramped up during the 2016 time. 2016 to 2020, it was a big dumpster fire shit show for if you were smart, when people just basically only became interested in fame and power and money. The heady go-go days of the post-Obama administration, but some of the nonsense was started during that period of time. And I would even conjecture that it started in the time of the Clinton administration. So with that said, I think I got still some other work to do to suss out the importance of the Afro-Druids, devaluation of scientific discovery, and the rise of fake power. There you go. So I'm reading from this week is Family Reunion, one of the chapters of the book. Listeners. The front gate buzzer sounds in Hacker's Grotto. Felicity's cousin Devin submits herself to a retinal scan, and then she points behind her. There's a blacked out electric SUV that pulls up and then pulls off as soon as the camera focuses on it. She notices no tags, but her glasses are also equipped with high-quality camera, which takes pictures of the driver and a side view of the image of the passenger. The not-so-undercover agent's photos are reconstructed and then ran through the facial recognition software perfected by her cousin Felicity and her husband Dial. So by the time she parks, grabs some fresh coffee in the kitchen of the main house, and then she enters Hacker's Grotto, the two black shirt agents are identified as formerly black ops within CIA and Homeland Security. Their presence together testament to the rapid consolidation of all parts of the U.S. government. Outside of Hacker's Grotto and Afro-Druids, no one had the technical expertise or hardware to create and operate an ionic quantum computer and personalized portable holographic imagers. The world, even as late as 2019, was not prepared for everything the Lundgrens and the cult-like following of the Afro-Druids was discovering. And creating what seemed to gag the U.S. government and the titans of technology was the advanced chip technology and supposition and subversion of theoretical physics into advanced applied quantum mechanical physics. The bids for work coming from the U.S. military in Silicon Valley would go unanswered, but it would not stop the business moles and thieves to attempt to infiltrate and steal this technology, only to be met with digitalized laughing Afro skulls and barking Rottweilers. The family was off-grid because they had the economic means to build and maintain the telescope and could create an industrial-grade 3D printer. They raised their own food. And because of their personal solar grid panel so near the Tennessee Valley Power Authority and converting power electricity from the waterfalls throughout their property, the state could not extract any more money out of the clearly wealthy couple. They also had been given the double middle finger to the U.S. government and most governments for about two decades. Their first visible means of employment was as associate professors at Rome. Their last visible means of employment was as associate professors at Rome State, which had been converted. The proceeds converted to cryptocurrency. They, like Grace J, did not trust banks, so had a reported $10 million stashed throughout the mountain and means to get through accounts not traceable to themselves. They also would pioneer work for crypto currency beyond Bitcoin with the establishment of the first Bitcoin cryptocurrency mining farm in Sweetwater. Unlike other entities, it was powered solely by hydroelectricity and solar panels, like the Lundgrens, like Hacker's Grotto. It would service, it would be serviced by the ever-growing intellectuals establishing a decidedly young colony of former computer engineers and professors, keen on continued research, but now able to support their families and continue the work to support this new found stream of income. They would establish the newest platform for training and security trading of the currency. With proceeds funding the most advanced library, symphony, arts council, with the mayor being a true independent former chancellor of Vanderbilt's physics department. All of the Lundgren's work as anti and their in cyber security cryptocurrency with a rising anti-hacker startup landed them on the watch list of most federal law enforcement agencies who did not understand them and envied by other nefarious individuals for their wealth. They were an annoyance to the IRS because they knew of their assets but had no apparent income or none recorded since 2009. Legally, the IRS could not tax what it could not see, but the replaced government was particularly myth. Not because of suspicions of undeclared income. It was the replacement suspicions. They were the evolve that could formally usher humanity into the continuum, but also alert the continuum to the replacement's interference. They were taking a hard look at them. But no matter. They were off-grid and increasingly untouchable. The U.S. government stepped up their surveillance after the embarrassing trade hole, first overseas and at the U.S. and British exchanges. The blacked-out armored SUVs parked menacingly outside the gates. It wasn't until the drone flyovers when they would arm their own devices. When they began to shoot down the intruders, the replacements took notice. Learning through the dark web, the occupants of the farm in Tennessee was in Tennessee of all places, alarming in a scientific brilliance in the most unlikely of places. With sophisticated telescope and a matching expertise, wondering if these human setup would allow them to communicate with the continuum, how much did they know? The large-scale replacement started before the 2008 election in the United States, with the next 16 years needed to subvert and camouflage the replacement's true intention, eradication of the human race. Chaos, disasters, genocide, violence, pestilence, environmental destruction was the shield they had used in the last millennium to cover up their mission of human eradication from this planet and the universe. But they needed a willing despot, willing to literally and figuratively to scorch the earth to fulfill his delusions of grandeur, willing to sacrifice anyone, including his own children, for kindling to the flame of domination. The match lit the gasoline torch, touched to the dumpster fire, ushering in 2016, and nearly a half a decade would begin the days of chaos. The replacements require chaos to operate. Their movements needed to be camouflaged after the 2016 election, even before the oath of office had been taken, the reorganization of the cabinet and reporting structure change. Ironically, the military and the black ops of the CIA were not replaced, but easily Homeland Security and the head of the Justice Department were. Those departments were combined with a new reporting lieutenant, the president's own interrogator. Trained daughter. His whole bevy of advisors were not subject to congressional approval, and this new structure is so harmful on many levels. Each day of the first 100 came edicts and declarations more bizarre than the last, with a definite suspension of normal rules of conduct, devoid of ethics and no moral direction. With the full support of the GOP Senate leaders, the new direction of the country changed with the rise of the first American dictatorship. Pesky walls, like the balance of power between all the branches and the state's rights, went out the window. GOP and other cowardly governors who promised fealty to the lunatic president were met with financing and invites to the White House and exclusive resorts. Nothing was exempt. Unknowing departments like the EPA, CDC all gutted, with finances redirected to build a wall that was not needed and to steer the narrative from the takeover. The FCC was replaced and long-standing contracts for airtime were suspended with the creation of the new governmental news agency dedicated to spreading the new propaganda directed by Tucker Carlson and other Fox News goons. Sadly, outside of the online and other satellite providers, CNN, BBC, Al Jazeera, all not available. An unease settled worldwide. Armchair scientists and other intellectuals saw the writing on the wall and went underground, mostly seeking out assistance from friends in building bunkers or wanting to share spaces in others. Ex-head of technology companies started building shelters or started looking to put themselves nearer to places like Sweetwater. There was a large influx of these intellectuals to Tennessee, but also to Texas and partially abandoned Super Collider, as well as to the partially abandoned Kennedy Space Center in Florida. As a day of chaos, as the first few months of the new administration, 2016, became known, with the newly elected but replaced administration, was installed and continued to consolidate their power, the intruder alarms in the Lundgren's farm became more of a frequent annoyance. The days of the errant, unarmed hiker were few and far between, but the audacity and the depravity became such that Felicity and Dow would create armed drones with high-powered weapons manufacturer illegal machine guns, which were way too easy to obtain and maintain in these crazy times. Afro Jewitz, the brainchild of Felicity and Dow Lundgren and the International, outwrote the friends, colleagues, and students even before they defended their dissertations and won awards. But it would serve as the protective body for their intellectual and financial properties for the rest of their careers. The Afro-Jewitz was a loose but connected group of followers comprised of former students and colleagues and all other sci-fi nerds. Hacker nerds were the most ardent followers, with the support of the Lundgrens, had secured very prominent positions at JPL, NASA, ESA, Google, Tesla, SETI, the Gregory telescopes, just to name a few. The federal and international support for scientists became non-existent. The application of science for monetary gain became paramount. Profit as scientific organizations became highly capitalized, only intent on their bottom lines and not purely scientific discovery. In the decades since mining their first cryptocurrency, effectively monetizing their discoveries, giving them control on their research and not making them dependent on research dollars, authors of their own successful narrative. Like most days, Felicity fixes herself a cup of noodles, walking to the monitors with lights flashing. She boots up to see a message from Tariq, a.k.a. Grace J, his drag alter ego, her physicist, quantum engineer, but drag queen of drag, runway cousin, and reads this message: "Tighten up. This is just out. Just got real out here, Grace." When Felicity tried to reply, she got the ominous words: "Account deleted." Dow senses Felicity's distress and asks, "What's going on, hon?" Felicity, turning and frowning, and walks towards the entrance to the living quarters and says, "Afro Jude's going dark. We have to bring the talent in-house. We got some creating to do." No sooner had Tariq hit send on a message and then deletes his account, the replacement government began to make good in harassing the Lowe family into submission. Tariq drives up to the observatory to start his usual shift, but notices new fencing and armed guards blocking the entrance. He pulls up to the gate, noting the armored tanks flanking the entrance to the front of the overhang of the telescope. He pulls up and stops as the guard approaches. Tariq says, "Good morning. When did the army move in?" he says in an effective way. The guard says, "We are not regular army, but the National Guard. The government has secured the site. Your services are no longer required." Tariq says, "Thanks for the information." Tariq says not completely shook, but he felt something in his bones. He gasses up his Jeep at a nearby station. He creates a separate account to send another message to the Afro-Jewish before deleting it also. He drives to his apartment complex, not completely shocked, when he sees the U.S. Marshals removing his belongings. Always grateful, he always keeps a bag of his high-end makeup from Anastasia, his solar phone, and personal hacker computer with him at all times. Actually, that should be a satellite phone. There's no such thing as a solar phone. A personal hacker computer with him at all times. He drives by noticing the commotion and moves on to his storage unit outside of town. He would pack up his Jeep with camping equipment, portable shower, and portable potty with trash bags. Even before his bank account were frozen, he had been withdrawing his checks for years and placing cash in a $30 Foot Locker in storage. The sum totaling over $500,000 in cash. He would then remove his tags, replacing with Tennessee plates, and rapidly spray painting the car a reflective matte black color, making it virtually invisible from space. He connects to NORAD computers, gathering some intel that had become erratic over the past few weeks. He would then pop his hood and disable the engine kill switch, removing a satellite radio as well as other tracking devices. He would then take a few minutes to transform into his Grace Jones alter drag ego. He would break his oversized iPhone in half, throwing the pieces and the rest of the detritus of his former life into the trash truck. He then folds himself behind the wheel once again, turning his Jeep east, heading to Tennessee. Kirsten, meanwhile, Kirsten, a 24-year-old student, finally gets time on the SETI radio telescope. She detects a direct beam of wavelengths pulsating in recursive. She started recording to analyze at her leisure. The data would require extra time and space to decipher the signal. The terminus appeared to be in Appalachia near her former community college, Warren State in Sweetwater, but in her gut, knowing it was her old professor, Felicity Lundgren. She opens her laptop and logs into the dark web and message Afrodruids. We heard she had sent. AFD, welcome, go dark. Be ready in 2 hours. Kirsten, the genius computational astrophysicist, last act as a graduate student, covers and redirects the information she logged from SETI, transfer the info to her personal computer. She will log on to the department's intranet, take prolonged leave, remove her Apple Watch, wipes her phone, leaving it unlocked on her table, packs her computer and duffel bag, and soon a horn sounds in the parking lot outside. She looks back at her studio apartment knowing she would never return, and she was okay with that. Gregor Solar Telescope. This massive complex is at the TD Observatory and is operated by the University of Freiburg. The same data initially seemed to be background static, but the recursive nature of the data, she realized that something was different but needed more time to decipher. She would send a short text to her former roommate working at SETI. Anna, you hear that? Kirsten, yep, going dark. Anna opens up her laptop, checks her private account on the dark web. Message from Anna, message Afrodruids, we heard. She sends message and soon gets, welcome, go back, go dark, be ready in 2 hours. She backs out and erases all traces of the information, sends her department a request for a long leave. She would then remove every capability to trace her, taking her passport and her personal computer and clothing, knowing she would never return. This would play over and over again at CERN, Hong Kong, JPL, Tesla, ESA, JSA, and Antarctica. All told, nine of the most brilliant scientific minds would descend on Squirrel Shot Mountain, part of the first team to work on the greatest discoveries in human history. Formal confirmation of the existence of extraterrestrial life with the ability to communicate with these species. The last of the eclectic group from Antarctica would arrive. The group would be fed, installed in dorm-like quarters dispersed throughout the mountain. It would take them all 4 or 5 days to sleep through the jet lag. They would all then be subjected to fitting of the VR Google Glass fit based on the information gathered from sleep and awake, EEGs, and the effusion PET scanning. They were taught to navigate the quantum computers using eye motions and no touch screens. Because if you are multi-billionaire hackers who can directly communicate with the most advanced race of beings to make contact, you can build such interfaces. Each would bring their own devices, but the devices would eventually all be destroyed because information was not necessary. At the end of the intense four-week training, they would all gather and interact separately with the One. Each interaction was with a different entity. The information given was individualized and expanded based on the chemical and biological makeup of the students and shared with everyone on an atomic level almost. The interactions changed them to work and to get the rest of humanity to listen. At the communal dinner, Chi, the nuclear physicist from Hong Kong, I understand I was brought in because we cannot travel safely using the same mechanism as the One. Omarion from Tesla, they really are on so next level ET shit. They all laugh. But with some modifications, we can build something with power to get us there using the Terran conduit. Chi, harnessing and directing energy of a particular collider to replicate the same energy signals. 8 from CERN, we have the power or ability and we can build it right here with the abandoned super collider in Texas. Carl from JPL, well, what if it wasn't completely abandoned, just scaled down but capable? The counter particle jump drive, they say in unison. Dahl, once a stable wormhole of sorts opens, we don't need booster rockets at all to get out of the atmosphere. We just lift off with a shuttle or a modified Black Hawk and fly in. Omarion, my ex-boss's company just became obsolete. Felicity, it looks like NASA, ESA, JSA, and the Chinese space agencies all are obsolete. Which is hysterical because Chinese just landed a rover on Mars, as well as launched their own space station into space, and with the raggedy rocket finally plunging back to Earth and landing in the Indian Ocean. But I digress. Anna, none of them will like that. No one will have the upper hand, and they don't even need to have the upper hand. Kirsten, but why us? Felicity, there is something darker at play with the survival of humanity on the line. They need us to understand, and they are a chatty bunch. Just then, the floor-to-ceiling screen comes alive with the doll herself, with Jackie O glasses covering her chiseled face in a perfect model profile. Grand Mabel says more to herself. How in the hell can she be given face and profile? Welp, my brother's oldest child has arrived. And then the next chapter is the doll has arrived. Tariqa's Grace J would arrive after taking a very circuitous route from New Mexico, not too long after the last of the team would arrive from Antarctica. He would drive purposely across the country, first showering at truck stops until he notices large police present, opting to take back roads that would prolong his trip, but he was less exposed. By the time he arrives in Sweetwater, he was happy to see the shadow of his cousin's telescope in the hills. He would gas up one last time, beat his face, happy not to take a bath in the mobile shower. The next day, for once. Looking forward to real meal, his weight down because he could not risk being seen in restaurants and live mostly on bologna sandwiches once a day. So when he arrives and pulls up to the video camera and yells into the speaker, Grace J is here, with the wrist snapping even from the computer nerves. The doll has arrived, they say in unison. Grace J was acutely aware of the changes happening on the outside, but the shock of Hacker's Grotto with the floor-to-ceiling monitors and touchless devices. Holographic device screens and devices. He would be subjected to PET scans and EEG until he was fully rested. He knew he had entered a new space, a space so foreign, but he knew he was home. Throughout Squirrel Shot Mountain, were interconnected heated pools and an entire underground lake stocked with colorless rainbow trout besides. The light in the cracks and on the landings used for sunbathing, the fish and microalgae were essentially colorless. This mountain in a previous time was home to a mining company when coal was king, but the entire property was bought and secured with clear Kevlar invented and patented by the Lundgrens to create an indestructible and water-resistant latticework to secure the old mining shafts and living quarters. With the changing and chaotic times, it seems that Afro-Druids would need the protection of the mountain reinforced with Kevlar. Every morning, over 2 weeks later, the family was splashing happily in the sun-dappled heated pool when Grace J makes her appearance, tucked and face beat to the gods. Sporting a modest blonde black one-piece suit, bathing suit, large Jackie O glasses on her face, and a big floppy straw hat. She takes her place next to her cousin Felicity, and Grand Mabel clocks her. Miss Thing, you know good and hell well, you are not coming out here to do no swimming. Grace J fans herself in an exaggerating affect tone, responds, tricks are for kids, this is not made to get wet. Okay. They all chuckle. Dow walks up and sets down with a silver tray with a beautiful blue Sèvres porcelain set before taking a seat. Grace J pours herself a cup of coffee, adding just a couple sugar cubes. Felicity asks, "What's the tea, Miss Thing?" Grace J removes her glasses. "Girl, we thought y'all were crazy building this telescope in these hills. But it turns out y'all really were the smartest ones of us all. Right after I sent you that message, all the major news channels went dark. The internet services got real hinky. The research money literally dried up. But computational science and the financial markets are just still humming along, which doesn't make any sense. We started to see the guard being activated along the borders with overhead military patrols. Some reports are getting through, migrants being shot on sight, people started disappearing. Then these red helmeted black shirt hit squad fools started raiding all the clubs and busting up businesses in China and Vietnamese town everywhere. It wasn't so much that I couldn't get my supplies or of material and beads for the gowns I designed. The order stopped for custom drag. No one was buying because no one was being booked or they were simply gone. This shit was targeted. I was surprised they haven't impounded your jets, though. Yeah, that didn't happen. Doll draws. That didn't happen until each landed back in the United States. Felicity continues. What we do understand is the control of the airways and all the university telescopes. The airways with Fox News and Tucker Carlson being installed as the in charge of the new governmental news service. Grace stands and grabs her laptop and returns with the open laptop showing them the newscast where Cheeto in charge bragging with the newly deputized presidential guard made up of skinheads, proud boys, all red helmet, coiffed and black. Shirted crackpots invading and forcibly removing dissident governors and mayors. But word got out that Gretchen of Michigan, Newsom of California, and Mayor Keisha Lance Bottom of Atlanta would all be spirited away just in time. Unfortunately for several governors in the Northeast, their fates would be sealed. Governor Cuomo's arrest and being led away in handcuffs, with the giddy sociopath president vibrating with glee, surrounded by other sycophants, including the governor of Tennessee. Kirsten, visibly shaken, asks, "Where is everyone? Where's the Speaker of the House and the Supreme Court? None of this can be legal." Dahl logs onto a new touchless. Holographic. Interface and then into NORAD and Grace. With Grace J, the stupid have taken over with access to the nuclear. We have to find out and secure those codes. She walks over and joins the connection to the quantum interface and says, "The codes are already locked and encrypted. There is no connection between that fool's case and a nuclear arsenal." Dahl muses, "Who did that?" Grace J says, "Severed in 2016, it looks like." Pulls up NORAD entry positions. Funny. The red helmet, black shirted fools are on the move, but the real chutes are not online. Who is controlling them exactly? Felicity says, "Good question." She swipes, bringing up the U.S. command screenless image, military installation all blinking yellow. Dahl enlarges the imagery over the secured area over the West Virginia underground bunker glowing green. As the blithering idiot president continues to spew lie after lie, doubling down on conspiracy and hate speech, the mood of Afro-Druid shifts to distress and anger, for they were witnessing. The demise of democracy and the beginnings of the first dictatorship. They could not let that happen. And then I did some rewriting. I worked on the COVID we set, but I'm going to... skip past that because... in America, the final chapter, but first shots. What I did in a previous chapter is talk about how the replaced government was coming for Afro-Druids, and I had to figure out how I was going to interplay that and how she was going to get away. And I think next, after I work on this, I'm going to start work on how the real government that is sequestered in the bunker under the Greenbrier is going to extract her and how she's going to get back home. But I'm seemingly, they're going to do it just in time before COVID hits. I'm not sure how that's all going to work out, but I'm definitely going to figure that out. So first shots. They know, the replaced presidential lead security says to the interrogator, and they said, pick her up. Because, you know, the replacements are worried about how much the Afro-Druids know. The interrogator knew that the Afro-Druids' existence and persistence was anti-government and definitely anti-replacements. These damn intellectuals, she says under her breath. The intellectuals and others began to organize around Afro-Druids when the government support for research and science dried up. It was obvious that they were financially sound. Their wealth was the stuff of legends, with their billions cemented during the gold rush of cryptocurrency and the support of the world's first cryptocurrency farm, completely secure with no carbon imprint, completely powered by solar and hydroelectricity. Like Grace J and Dahl's sisters, which I've been working on their escape from... their escape from where they were in Hong Kong and how they come and they descend on, because it's building up to something more. But anyways, Tennessee in hopes of unrestrained discovery. The intellectual power sequestered in the ancient Appalachian Mountain could not be hidden from the replaced government due to their sheer intellectual power made them dangerous. They had the self-awareness that would be attractive to the continuum. They had to be stopped before they revealed the presence of the replacements in humanity's affairs to the continuum. And so would go the preparation for the extraction of the human agitator. She would make an impassioned plea. The interrogator... just realize that nobody would know who that is, would make an impassioned... I've been talking for a while and I just noticed that it stopped talking. I wonder how much it did not pick up. Crappers. It's not like I can rewind it to find out. That sucks. So I'll just start back. They know, the replaced presidential lead security says it to the interrogator, pick her up. I then go on and on and on about the Sweetwater gardening stock. I also go on, they actually extract her, and this is where it gets interesting when she meets the interrogator. So I'll just start there because I don't want to read something that you guys have all that have already said, because I don't know. As I said, I cannot on this recorder. I can't actually rewind, which sucks, as I said. So I'm going to go back to where she is so condescending. She asks, the interrogator asks her, how are you able to understand? A flicker of annoyance in Felicity at the condescension of it all, and says, you would be surprised what is understood and necessary. The interrogator sits back. These algorithms could be applied with your computers to mine crypto. Felicity, that is one of the reductive uses, and they are. Felicity, knowing full well the crypto mining farm Afro Druids maintain in Sweetwater. Interrogator, your government requires this ability. Felicity, to mine crypto, to reduce this knowledge for money? She questions. She sighs. That would be such a waste. She gets up, walking over to the station, pours herself some hot water, adding a package of Sanka and sugar. Sanka. Santa. And sugar, sitting down without offering, knowing this anorexically thin woman would decline. The interrogator, you like that word, reductive. Felicity, it fits with an intended use for such great discovery, could advance humanity's knowledge. You reduce the usage to a means to make more money. What about the learning, the acquisition of knowledge, listening and communing with the universe? A flicker of alarm flashes in the cold eyes of the interrogator, and she says with the slightest tremor in her voice, and what does the universe say? The Botox had immobilized her facial muscles, but her pupils and capillaries in her skin dilated, expressing her fear was scanned into the microprocessors in Felicity's ocular processors. Felicity pauses with the new input data, careful to word her verbal attack precisely. It says science for discovery. Humanity elevation. I kind of like to think the solution to what ails or what would destroy us is buried somewhere in those equations. The change of inputs emanating from the interrogator become more rapid as fear morphs into anger. She then says, that's a very Pollyanna view. Felicity sits back, relaxed, and says, maybe it's just, what if there's more to our existence? The interrogator, more of what? More power? Because I don't know if you've noticed, without money and lots of it, there is no power. Felicity going in for the gut punch, leaning forward. Well, coming from a trust fund baby who has never earned a dime of her own money and who never did the work to earn even your current quasi-cabinet position, but because you are the spawn of the demagogue in charge, I would say your view of true power is a tad bit warped. The interrogator's face twitches and twists into rage, and she stands sweeping the papers to the floor, screams, you fucking black bitch. She shrieks, showering spittle in Felicity's face, landing on the semiconductor material processed for its genetic content. Felicity draws back before going over to the wash bin, washing her face and hands, and says, say it, don't spray it. Your mucus is looking a little thick. Can one of your goons get some water? You seem kind of dehydrated. Hardly a flicker in her brain, the new information appearing directly as part of her thoughts. Replacement is present. Still standing, saying more calmly, fuck you, smartass. Ordering the armed guard, remove all these paper from this room immediately. Now you get to be alone with your thoughts until you have something useful to tell us, you cunt bitch. She turns and begins to walk away with that last barb. Felicity, not missing a beat, half smiles and says, we are never alone with our thoughts. The interrogator stops dead in her track, turning slowly. The suit that Felicity is wearing starts to glow with a low hum emanating from it. A holographic image projects from Felicity eyepieces, taking the form of the one materializing in front of the interrogator, who is now white as a sheet. The armed guards taking flight as the apparition appears. Then Felicity says, "Oh yeah, by the way, takes the one to know the one." And that's how I ended that chapter, as they get busted in their interference in the humanity. And I thought that was actually, this is a great way to end it, a chapter. And it's a great lead into the next chapter, because this is how the one should be punished for their interference, and a progression of the story as the totality of humanity is changed forever, and how they start the rebuilding process, because it's going to take a minute to get these fools up out of government, just like the 2020 election and the nonsense that followed that election cycle. So I hope you will tune in next time, and you'll be able to get more as I continue to edit and add to this narrative. It's starting to take flight, you know, starting to look pretty good, I think.
Black leather glove, no sequins. Buckles on the jacket, it's elite shit. Nike crossbody, got a piece in it. Gotta dance, but it's really on some street shit. I'ma show you how to get it. It go right foot up, left foot side, left foot up, right foot side. Basically,
yep,
I'm saying
that's the bop from Drake, the latest, the 2C slide. And you can imagine me bopping in my seat. So that's how a great way to end a pretty long episode. It seems like I'm as chatty as always. I always trip out that it takes me a minute to basically put together the show and the notes and get the soundtrack together or the playlist together. But it's always worth it, and it just all comes together, and I hope a way that's entertaining. And I'd like to hope that as people are on the road now listening to my podcast, it'll get them to where they need to go, or they could just listen to all of the music on repeat on iTunes. And this is a way for me, as a creative and positive creative outlet, keep me busy. I'll never be bored as long as I have paid my fees to be able to continue the podcast, and as that people continue to download it across the world. I got a couple of downloads from Australia, Great Britain, and Saudi Arabia, and I'm hoping this will give you guys hope in this treacherous time that we live in. And until next week, look for me on the blog, my WordPress, as well as additional postings if something else or somebody else say something dumb. So let's bop into an afternoon with Drake, the 2C slide.
Sometimes if it's not the right time, it'll always be another time. I'm not even tripping, we'll just see him in the summertime. Whoa, yeah. Can't describe the pressure I be putting on myself. Yeah. Really, I just can't afford to lose nobody else. Yeah. If they move and shaky, we'll just do the shit ourselves. Well, if I'm move and shaky, Chels will do the shit himself. Yeah. Solo, niggas on a YOLO for real. Heard a lot about you, but we don't know for real.